The League of Women Voters in Wisconsin have been one of the leading groups against the photo ID law, which federal judges just reinstated. To talk about that fight and to put that in a national context, thanks to Elizabeth McNamara, President of the League of Women Voters of the United States, for dropping into Wisconsin. I thanks very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, the League started in 1920, yes, after women got the right to vote.
We are a direct outgrowth of the fight to get women the right to vote, because our founders recognized that all of those women, who were newly enfranchised, were going to have the information that they needed to understand their state election laws in order to be able to get registered, get informed, and vote. And that is a mission that we have been carrying out now for nearly 100 years. And we are certainly working very hard on that mission here in Wisconsin in 2014.
And because that was a founding mission of the League.
Absolutely.
Is that the reason your Wisconsin group went all in on the photo ID law, Elizabeth?
Making sure that our elections are free, fair, and accessible to every eligible voter has been a core mission of the League since we were founded in 1920. And our members here in Wisconsin have done the most wonderful job in making sure that voting rights are protected, whether it's in the state, working in the state house, working in the courthouse, or working right down on the ground with all of your registrars, with your town clerks, with the Government Accountability Board, to make sure that voters have the information they need so that absolutely nothing keeps them from getting to the polls and having their voices heard on election day has been, the Wisconsin League has just done a phenomenal job.
We passed our photo ID law, I believe, in 2011.
Yes.
It was in effect for a spring primary,
yes,
which is a very low turnout election.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about the Wisconsin photo ID law. Now, you're involved in the U.S. League is involved in similar efforts across the nation, but where does our photo ID law rank in terms of, you might use the term, onerous?
It is a very, very restrictive voter photo ID law. It only permits seven very specific kinds of government-issued photo ID to be presented at the polls in order for a voter to vote. It is not a question, as I think a lot of folks folks assume, that as long as you have something in your wallet with a picture on it, you will be able to vote. In Wisconsin and in an awful lot of other states that have passed these kinds of bills, these lists are very, very restrictive, and Wisconsin's is certainly in that category.
Okay. So what advice would you give the potential 2.1 to 2.5 million voters who could be going to the polls in Wisconsin on the 4th day of November?
Well, the very first thing I would say is, you know, get informed as to what you need to bring with you. First off, to register if you were not already registered, and remember that you can register on election day in Wisconsin.
Yes.
But make sure you know what you need to bring, because you will need to bring proof of residency in order to be able to register. And I believe that list is also there. That's not just anything you can think of, and also know what those seven forms of ID are and make sure you have one. The League has established, and this is a national website that allows any voter anywhere, including in Wisconsin, to enter their information and get their election laws. So if you go to vote411.org, which is a League-sponsored website.
411.org?
411.org.
Okay.
And put your information in. You can get information on where and how to register, what your state laws are, what you need to bring with you in order to register and in order to vote. The League here in Wisconsin is available at all times to be able to help people figure out what they need so that they are not disenfranchised during this election.
The League, the Wisconsin arm of the League, has been fighting photo ID for 3 years.
Yes.
Is your group still fighting it? Are you part of the last-minute Hail Mary pass to the U.S. Supreme Court?
No, we are not. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin had a case in state court under the state constitution, and that your Supreme Court just recently ruled that voter photo ID could go into effect under your state constitution. The ACLU and the Advancement Project are involved in the federal lawsuit where they have just approached the Supreme Court for a stay.
What's at stake in terms of our photo ID law? Is the League afraid that certain groups of voters will be disenfranchised? If so, who?
Well, we do see that these laws have a disproportionate impact on young people, older people, and minority voters. And we are very concerned that those folks get the, and particularly those folks get the information that they need. And that is one of the reasons why we have established vote411.org. That is the reason that the Wisconsin League is working very hard. We've got palm cards. We've got information up through the league websites to make sure that folks get that information and know what they need to do while there is still time to register and there is still time to get the ID that will be required. That we've got to be prepared that it will be required on Election Day this November. And so the league is there and ready. This is an extremely important election. And we want, here in Wisconsin and all across the country, we want to make sure that that every eligible voter has a chance to make sure, to make his or her voice heard.
Will the league be having observers in poll places?
Yes.
Watching how this process works?
Yes.
And making notes and towards what goal?
The League in Wisconsin has had an absolutely phenomenal observer program in the polls since 2011, and I believe in their observations, which are reports they report back to the Government Accountability Board, have been, I believe, invaluable in making sure that elections run as smoothly as possible here in Wisconsin. We're there strictly to observe. We are a completely nonpartisan organization. We just want to make sure that voters are able to get into the polls. We will report back what we see in an effort to make the process work for everybody.
Okay. Well, as this was debated, I'm only quoting some of the legislators, some of the Republicans who voted for it. They're saying, we present a photo ID to get on an airplane. You've heard the list.
Yeah.
Why not to vote, since it's one of our most sacred constitutional rights?
Because it's completely unnecessary. It is only designed to keep one person from impersonating another person at the polls, a situation that rarely occurs. Weighed against the number of folks that are, as I said, disproportionately impacted by the necessity to get an ID that they would not otherwise have to have. There's just no reason for it. It is not making our polls more secure. It is not making the election system more secure. And I don't see where it is, and the league doesn't see where it is increasing confidence. As if anything else, it's causing confusion, and confusion erodes confidence. That's exactly what we're trying to avoid, is to make sure that voters aren't confused, that they don't feel like they can't go to the polls because they don't know that there's something out there that they're not going to have or they're going to get turned away. And it's why organizations like ours are working overtime to make sure that voters have the confidence and have clear information so that they can get out there and vote on Election Day.
Are you surprised that in recent polls statewide in Wisconsin, a majority of those responding support photo ID?
No, I'm not surprised, because we'd hear that all across the country. Now, on the other hand, when you sit down with those folks that are with supporters individually, and you talk to them about, but it's only these seven kinds of ID, and not everybody has them, we find that people's opinions definitely change. There is a presumption that everybody has something. And that may or may not be true. Whether it is or not, it doesn't matter. When if the only thing you can bring is one of those seven, then it's not. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what voter photo ID actually is in a lot of the states.
The poll released just 2 days ago, 71% said, "Yeah, I'm aware I have to have a photo ID," but one in four, the remainder, either
That's
said,
right.
"I don't have to have a photo ID," or "I have no knowledge of the photo ID." So potentially one in four voters could have a problem on Election Day?
We certainly hope not. Fortunately, there is time to get information out. There are educational materials available. There are educational resources like vote411.org that are available to voters. So if voters have a question, we are absolutely urge folks, please check Check online, check and make sure what it is that you need to be. Be informed before you ever leave home to make sure that you have what you need to have. We're certainly hoping that we're going to be joined in that effort by other organizations. Certainly we hope that there's going to be good information, solid information getting out there as broadly as possible. But the League is going to do its part to make sure that voters, that one in four voters is not turned away at the polls.
Do you think more women than men voters could be hurt by our photo ID law?
Definitely it is. There are more barriers for women, because it's not just, you know, it's never just a question of showing up and getting the ID. You have to, there are certain documents that need to be provided, or there are certain documents that need to be located in one form or another in order for the ID to be issued. Women are much more likely to have changed their names, so at some point during their lives. So, you know, whereas, you know, you can't just bring a birth certificate. You may need to bring a birth certificate. You may need to bring a driver's license. You may need, or I'm sorry, a marriage certificate. You may need to bring divorce papers. There is more documentation usually frequently for women than there are for men. And so it's not just a question of sometimes of looking at the ID itself. You've got to also look at all of the requirements that have recently been put in for you to be able to get those documents. And again, that is information that we are getting out through Vote 411 and through the League here in Wisconsin to make sure people are prepared and they don't just show up at a driver's license bureau and with nothing and bring whatever you have to show who you are, to show when you were born. Even if you don't have a birth certificate, there are ways of dealing with that here in Wisconsin, but you've got to know what those are to make sure that you're prepared when you go and apply for your ID.
The League is a nonpartisan organization.
Absolutely.
But most votes for photo ID laws have been cast by and pushed by members of the Republican Party and our state Republican governor and the GOP controlling both houses of the legislature. So by fighting photo ID so hard and so vigorously, by going all in on the issue, you're aligning with Democrats who oppose it.
We are not aligning with any party. We're aligning with voters. Our only interest is making sure that voters, regardless of who they want to cast their ballot for on Election Day, have free and fair access to the polls. So we align with no party. We're only worried about voters.
Okay. Other priorities listed on your national website: climate change.
Yes.
That ranks really high.
It does.
And why? What threat does the League believe climate change poses to our environment?
Well,
worldwide.
You know, obviously, climate change is one of the greatest threats that we have on a lot of levels, and I think a lot of folks would know that we're one of the first environmental organizations out there. The League, in addition to working to get women registered to vote, we're also interested in advocating on issues of importance to women and children. There is no greater public health threat to our nation or to our world than climate change. And this is very, very much an issue that has mattered to the League for many years. We were there when President Nixon signed the Clean Air Act into law. We have supported the EPA. We have submitted thousands and thousands and thousands of comments on EPA rules on carbon. So we are very, very active in trying to get some action and some change on climate change.
So you like the draft EPA rule on coal emissions?
Yes.
That would cut emissions by 30% by 2030.
We actually submitted comments asking them to increase the decrease, if you will, asking them to push. We pushed for cuts of higher than 30%. Higher than 30% within that period of time. So yes, we're very supportive.
Doesn't that again align you more often with Democrats than members of the other party?
I would again say it aligns us with the majority of Americans who are concerned about the impact of climate change on their daily lives and on our economy, on our public health. So, no, I would say it aligns us with voters.
Well, and a third priority on your website, money in politics. Now, we have seen Citizens United and the McCutcheon ruling. So what is the League in favor of? A constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United, or is that not achievable? What's doable in the area of campaign finance?
Well, we've been pushing very hard. We have been pushing very, very hard in the short run for better, more meaningful disclosure of who it is that is contributing on this, because remember, this is a lot of independent financing. Or independent expenditures. Mm-hmm. These are not necessarily
third party. Doesn't have to be disclosed.
Absolutely,
just
and the secret
money that magically appears.
the secret money is a huge concern. To us. The American people and voters deserve to know who it is that is contributing the money, that is creating the messages that they are hearing on their television sets, and in their newspapers and in their mailboxes before an election. It is the best way of determining what credibility they're going to afford those messages. And so we've been pushing very, very hard in Congress for passage of the Disclose Act, at least in the short term, to make sure that we know who is speaking to us and where that money is coming from. But yes, this is the amount of money and the secrecy of that money that is coming into our elections is a very, very great concern for us.
But if you have billionaires on both the left and right, Koch brothers and George Soros, spending hundreds of millions of dollars, what's your fear for our democratic process if the unchecked spending continues, Elizabeth?
We're not electing people to Congress. We're not electing people to our state houses. We're not electing governors. We're not electing a president to represent only the billionaires in this country. We're electing those folks to represent the people who go to the polls on Election Day and cast their votes. And so our great concern is that all of that money is interfering with the ability of our elected representatives to represent the people who are electing them.
So you're lobbying for anybody who contributes has to be publicly
We want full and meaningful disclosure.
Are you saying then that a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United is just going to be impossible?
The League has not. We have not weighed in one way or the other on a constitutional amendment. We are, looking at this point to do what we can to protect the election, to protect the election, this election and future elections. We've been pushing hard to at least let the American people know who it is that is issuing those messages.
Another priority of the League is the reapportionment process in every state.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's been an issue in Wisconsin, but to quote the Senate Majority Leader, because I was in the room when he said it, voters don't care about the issue. Response?
I think voters do care about the issue. I think the fact that, redistricting happens only once every 10 years is something that it can be difficult to keep it first and foremost on folks' mind during that 10-year period of time, and it is one of the reasons why the League has worked very, very hard to continue to remind folks that this is a process that makes a real difference as to who you go and vote for when you go on Election Day, and that the real purpose of all of this is that voters should be picking their elected representatives. Their elected representatives should not be picking their voters. And so I do think that people care about it. I just think it is a difficult subject sometimes it's a difficult subject to understand. And of course, one of the biggest problems is that the process in most states is so opaque. It is not done openly. It is not done transparently. And voters do not have a fair opportunity to be able to comment. And those are all things that we work on with the League, not just during the period of time when redistricting is happening, but we do try and talk about it all the time.
How many members in the League nationally, roughly?
We have 150,000 members and supporters.
And so then you have to kind of pick your fights, because you're not like K Street with unlimited resources, correctly?
No. Well, we have, we are a membership organization, and we are very, very mission driven. And so setting our priorities on the items that you have mentioned, and deploying our resources, our grassroots resources on those very important issues, we think we've got great resources.
Well, we've talked about some of the issues that the League most care about. Is the League actively involved in the debate over the Affordable Care Act?
We have been. We supported the Affordable Care Act.
You still support it?
Yes. And our leagues have been, many of our leagues have been very active around the country in pushing for the Medicaid expansion.
Yes.
We have been doing a lot of work around the country to educate citizens on the exchanges, on how to access the Affordable Care Act, on what the actual provisions are of the Affordable Care Act. So we've been doing a lot of work at the grassroots to make sure that folks understand the law.
Has the Affordable Care Act been more helpful to women in this nation than men?
That's hard for me to comment on. It is absolutely ensured that a lot more people have access to health insurance. And we are definitely seeing greater coverage and a lot of the benefits of the Affordable Care Act as it continues to roll out. And we, as I said, we have been working very, very hard to work with local governments or with state governments to make sure that this rollout is as smooth as possible.
A very controversial part of the Affordable Care Act is a debate over reproductive rights. Is the league involved in that? Because, having covered debate in the Capitol, I hear Democrats say Republicans are guilty of a war on women. Does a league, that's a partisan issue, or is that a women's health care issue?
Any time that an issue is important to voters, I have a hard time seeing it as being anything than other than an issue that's important to voters. And voters have got to have the right information. They have got to have good nonpartisan information. Mm-hmm. And the league is always a source of that information, whether it's on reproductive health care, on the Affordable Care Act, on redistricting, on any of the voting issues that have been coming up. Our goal is to make sure that folks have the facts, that voters are informed. These are all the kinds of things that we are going to the polls in, right now in a lot of states, and certainly coming up in November, to elect the folks that are going to make decisions on these extremely important issues. We need to know where candidates stand. We need to get informed, and we need to vote so that they're hearing us, so that they know where the American people stand on those issues. And that's the only concern that the league has, is to make sure people have the facts.
Okay, so that's the informational role.
Right.
But on an issue like photo ID, you are advocates, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't do endorsements.
No, we never, we're a nonpartisan organization. We do not support or oppose any candidate or any party. However, on issues, we take positions on issues. The positions that we have taken on all of the items that you have mentioned, and particularly on access to the polls, are positions that we take from the point of view of the voter, as citizens. That is our absolute right, and it is our absolute duty to speak up where we see ways of improving the system, and where we see things happening that we think are going to disenfranchise groups of people, or are going to disproportionately impact certain groups of people. It is our absolute responsibility to speak up as citizens in a democracy, and that's what the league does.
You're head of the League of Women Voters of the U.S., and you're also head of the League of Women Voters Education Fund.
Yes.
What's the fund?
The Education Fund, we are organized as a 501c4 and also as a 501c3. And it's depending on what activities we're working on, it's a way of organizing our funding.
Okay. How are you trying to reach out to the millennial generation with your issues?
Well, certainly the biggest way we're trying to do that is to make sure that they've got voter information accessible in a way that so many of us have gotten accustomed and expect to be able to access it, which is why there is what we have vote411.org, why we are trying to provide as much online information as we can to folks that are accustomed to getting their information in that form. The league here in Wisconsin is doing an absolutely wonderful job of not only making sure that voters have information on what to bring to the polls, what the laws are, what to expect, but also good candidate information from a nonpartisan point of view. That is also available here in Wisconsin through vote411.org. Moving these resources online where folks are accustomed and comfortable with getting them is a huge means of outreach. We're also doing outreach through social media and in every other way we can imagine to make sure that we get that message out to as many people as possible. Young people need to have their voices heard as well.
And they're a big part of the Affordable Care debate.
They certainly are.
They're healthy and we need their premiums too. Anyway, is the U.S. League involved in the equal pay issue and the minimum wage issue?
Every time
the president talks, he calls for an increase in minimum wage. And he usually says it would help that single mom out there. Is the League involved in that?
We've not been specifically involved in those particular debates. We've been focusing on making sure that voters who care about those issues are able to get to the polls and that our elected officials are listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
That again is why we want to make sure that every eligible voter gets to the polls this November, because these are the kinds of issues that our elected officials are responsible for. They need to be hearing from voters. They don't need to be hearing from special interests. They need to be hearing from the folks that actually go and cast a ballot. And the more diverse voices they hear from, the better decisions that they're going to make.
So the League doesn't have a position on it's debated in Washington and here in the Capitol, raising the minimum wage.
That has not been an issue that we have been specifically advocating on, at least at the national level.
What about immigration reform?
We have worked on immigration reform.
Did you endorse the Senate passed bill? Well, what about schools? The achievement gap. Issues like that. Is the U.S. League getting involved on some of those?
The school issues, a number of our states, I can't comment on any of the work here in Wisconsin, but a number of our leagues around the country. Remember, we are a grassroots organization, so it's not just the issues that we decide to focus on in Congress or the issues that we decide to focus on nationally. It is also the issues that our grassroots membership feels are important in their communities, and many, many of our leagues are working on education issues in a variety of ways.
You're a former prosecutor. Does the league get involved in correction and prison criminal justice issues?
Again, as a grassroots organization, so many, particularly in criminal justice issues, those are issues that address themselves tremendously to, and probably predominantly, to decision making at the state and the local level, and many of our leagues are involved in those.
Okay.
It's one of the great things about being a membership organization and having actual members in real communities is
yes.
that we can respond to the things that matter in individual communities. You don't have to wait for the League of Women Voters of the United States to say, go work on this. If this is an issue that's important in Dane County, or if it's an issue that's important to the state of Wisconsin, we have league members who are knowledgeable and ready to respond.
Well, one example of this, studies unfortunately show that Wisconsin incarcerates African Americans more than any other state. So if the League in Wisconsin decided to work on this issue, then the National League would say, go forth and do it, right?
We have our own system of determining where our members understand and agree on the issues that we need to take up and the issues that they want to work on.
Okay.
But we are as a grassroots organization, we're very flexible in that regard, and it is one of the real wonders of the League that we can respond on those issues, we can create forums, we can get information out to the community on the things that matter to our communities.
Okay. Well, we're almost out of time, so speak to voters in Wisconsin, women voters in Wisconsin. The election's a month away. In terms of your advice to them, what?
Well, of course, the League is not for women only.
I understand.
We want all voters. We want every eligible voter in Wisconsin to be able to get the information that they need. This is an important election. There is a lot at stake in this election as there is in every election. But we are electing every member of Congress. We are electing, you're electing a governor. You're electing who represents you in your state house. Right. I'm sure there are a lot of there are going to be statewide offices that folks are very, very interested in. These are important races, and it is absolutely critical that the folks that we elect and you elect here in Wisconsin are hearing every voice from every variety, from every point of view here in Wisconsin. And so we want to make sure that you get the information you need. Go to vote411.org, learn what you need. If you're not registered, get registered. We can help you get into the information that you need to get out and vote, but make sure that you get out and vote.
But the Wisconsin League is going to be there monitoring how our photo ID law works on November 4th,
right? There will be poll watchers at the polls. As I said, we are there only to make sure that, only to observe the process and to make recommendations to make sure the process works for voters. That is our only interest. We want to make sure that this goes smoothly. We want to be of assistance because our interest is the voters' interests.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Elizabeth McNamara, President of the League of Women Voters of the United States. Thanks for coming to talk to Wisconsin Eye.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.